This is Steve Dale's Pet
Steve
World.
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Got an issue with Fido or Fluffy? Steve Dale is here to help.
What's up? That felt pretty good, right?
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Oh, okay.
Whether your feline is missing the litter box or your canine doesn't like the mailman, call the show toll-free.
She said toll-free.
At 866-554-PETS.
They've done studies, you know.
That's 866-554-7387.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
So for as long as I've been doing this program, yes, I've been taking your phone calls at that number, 866-554-PETS, and have been harping upon several different topics. One of them, preventive care for our pets, why that is so important. Now, IDEXX, they're a diagnostic laboratory. Your veterinarian will know their name. They have come out with data, new information to demonstrate that essentially Steve Dale and others are right about what they say about preventive care, why that is so important for our pets, our dogs and cats at home. I don't typically get political on this show, but Donald Trump said we need, didn't he say this? We need teachers to have guns in schools and others who work at schools to have guns to prevent gun violence in schools. Well, another school is taking a different take on it, or several schools in Texas. What they're doing is they have dogs that can actually sniff for firearms. So might that be a more effective solution and also maybe a more practical solution as well? We'll find out from someone who actually is working with one of these dogs on the ground. I mean, every single day he's doing this. What is this? What does he do? How do these dogs sniff for firearms? And we're going to learn the answer. I'm fascinated by the prospect. I think it's very interesting. I think also what is interesting is what Delta Airlines has done. You know, my condolences, of course, as well to the Bush family and our late president. And one of the things, politics aside, that George Bush did, whether you liked him, you didn't like him, the Americans for Disability Act, it happened under his watch. And when they created the ADA, they did not envision the internet, and they did not envision the internet being what it ultimately turned out to be, a way in which people can say, I want a comfort dog, I deserve a comfort dog, and here's my $19.99 to demonstrate that I really have a comfort dog. I mean, they didn't know, they didn't think about that possibility. And the same thing for the Airlines Act, which came shortly after the ADA came about. So the airlines are trying to, like, okay, how do we figure this out? So during this past year, I'll talk about some things that Delta Airlines did that are very good, but I'll also talk about one thing they did that isn't very good at all, and they recently also made some additional changes. And if you ever fly with an animal, whether it be a companion animal or a real service dog, you'll need to know about this, and I will tell you all about it. And take your telephone calls. That's most important. 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. We are, after all, here to help you. Frank in Massachusetts, you're on the radio. Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
I got a problem with my dog. I got a 10-month Yorkie.
Uh-huh.
Me and my wife tried to teach him to pee in a pad. So I think he'd pee in a pad, but I noticed all of the house, it's spot that he usually pees. So I don't know what else I have to do. So someone told me I should murder him.
Should what? You should what?
So I don't know how to say that. It's, to have his surgery to neuter him?
Well, right. Okay, so yes, you should neuter your dog. And there are a couple of reasons for it. One, you mentioned, it really does help control his urges. But moreover, it's just the right thing to do. We need to spay and neuter our pets. If your dog were to get out and meet a hot babe who is not spayed, well, then there are puppies, and we have enough puppies. Let the responsible breeders do what they do. We have enough dogs out there. So, yes, neutering your dog as your dog grows, you'll have a better pet. Your pet, your dog, won't sniff everywhere and say, oh, I need to find this very nice-looking lady dog. It'll be way better if you neuter your pet. Yes, 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 and it can help you with the problem you have now. Having said that, if your dog's entrenched in a habit, it's possible it will continue. And at this age, I don't know if your dog's actually spraying or your dog is just not completely house trained. So step number one would be to neuter your dog. Step number two is to take your puppy to the puppy pad. Dogs aren't known, they're not born knowing this stuff. Take your dog on a leash, even indoors, to the puppy pad when your dog does perform. And first thing in the morning, by the way, is the best time because your dog has really got to go. You know that.
Okay.
So take your dog there. When your dog goes potty on the puppy pad, have a party instantly. Have special treats in your pocket. Reward your dog. Praise your dog. Tell your dog is the most brilliant dog in the world. At the age of 10 months, some dogs certainly have bladder control, yes, but you have a very small dog with a small bladder still. And sometimes toy dogs, as you have, can be a challenge under the best circumstances to house train. So you want to be consistent. And even at this age, after the dog has had a lot of water, after the dog has had a meal, after the dog has played, and after your dog has gotten up from a long nap, your dog is going to have to go. That's a law. It's true. Physiologically, even at 10 months old for a Yorkshire Terrier, that is true. So again, take your dog after eating, after playing, after drinking to the potty pad, pace back and forth. That'll encourage your dog to go. If your dog doesn't go, you have a loaded weapon there. So keep your dog tethered to you. If your dog begins to lift that leg, scoop up your dog. It's a small dog, easy enough to do, and bring your dog to the potty pad. When your dog eventually does go again, reward your dog with treats and praise big time. But in the meantime, yes, yes, have your dog neutered.
Yeah, definitely. I think I will do that.
All right. I hope I helped you. And once you do have your dog neutered, if things aren't working out, I mean, the neutering isn't actually likely to be a miracle at this point because your dog has learned I can go anywhere in the house, perhaps. You know, your dog might not understand the potty pad is where I need to do my business. So you still have to, in dog language, explain that to your dog. And again, it's not through, and you're not punishing. That's a good thing. So if your dog has accidents, don't worry about it so much. Clean it up, yes, but don't worry about it so much. Just worry about what's going to happen the next time. And again, even at this age, after your dog plays and eats and drinks, your dog has got to go.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Our telephone number is 866-554-PETS. But other ways you can reach me as well, you can email steve@petworldradio.net or find me on Facebook. Just search Pages. And when you search Pages, you can find my fan page. The most important thing you can ever do in your life is to like my Facebook fan page. Coming up next, we will talk about a topic that's been in the news, what airlines are doing. And specifically in this instance, Delta Airlines has been leading the way, saying we are taking these actions regarding service or comfort dogs. I'll tell you what the actions were that they took earlier this year, and I'll tell you what they just did next. The temperatures are dropping, the snow is falling, the streets and sidewalks are ice-packed, and your dog is giving you that look. You know that look. He wants to go outside. He wants a walk. He wants you to get up off that cozy couch, bundle up, and venture out into the cold with him. What's a dog owner to do? A dog owner like you hops off that cozy couch, bundles up, and takes your dog outside with joy. Why? Because you love your dog. And you use Safe Step SurePaws Ice Melter, designated a safer choice by the US EPA. Safe Step SurePaws quickly melts ice around your home and is less likely to harm your pet's paws or your vegetation. And because it uses magnesium chloride, it's better at melting ice and safer for your family and your pets. Used correctly, you'll need significantly less Safe Step SurePaws than rock salt to achieve the same results, so it's more cost-effective too. Melt the ice around your home safely this winter. Find Safe Step SurePaws online at safestepmelters.com or at a retailer near you.
He doesn't bite, and he has all his shots. This is Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, flying with an animal has changed dramatically over the past, 5, 6, 7 years. particularly with comfort animals or service animals, two different categories there, really. And the whole system has become rife with abuse as a result of everything, including the fact now that you can go online and for like $19.99 say, my dog's a service dog, my dog's a comfort dog, just because you write a check to some website somewhere. And the airlines are responding in different ways. Well, Delta Airlines said most recently they took three actions over the course of 2018. And their most recent is that they say that any flight over 8 hours, all animals that are service or support animals under 4 months of age, forget about. Or any flight longer than 8 hours, period, forget about. So if the animal is under, and at that age, that animal's not a support animal, in my opinion, anyway. So any animal, dog or cat, under 4 months of age, and if the flight is over 8 hours, forget about it. You cannot bring that animal on the flight. And I think those make sense. The other thing that they did very early this year, in I think the spring, is that they said that we have a no-fly list now, and that chickens, birds of prey, spiders, snakes and other reptiles, sugar gliders, long list of animals, emu, ostrich, whatever, forget about. They cannot fly, period. I don't care that you call them a service or support animal. I don't care, says Delta Airlines, what sort of paperwork you have. Those animals cannot fly, and I totally agree with that. I just don't believe that a chicken belongs on an airplane, for example, or a peacock, or a boa constrictor snake. I mean, ridiculous. However, they did something else, and what they did also is say, as a result of apparently an incident that occurred, if a dog looks like an animal that we say is a pit bull, who are they to say it? But if we say it's a pit bull, then that dog, again, no matter what the paperwork is, cannot fly. The problem, in my opinion, with that, no, it's not my opinion, it's fact, really. The problem with that is that, first of all, you look at a dog, and a dog may have a certain look about it that we call a pit bull, but in all likelihood, there's no pit bull in that dog. I did a blog post where I chose a dog, a real service animal, to a U.S. veteran that looks like a Labrador mix. And you can call that dog a Labrador mix, but it's got kind of a square, blocky head. So you could also say this dog is a pit bull mix of some sort. So who's to say, unless that genetic testing is mandated? And if it were, and I wouldn't mind if it was, because it turns out that's been done. Those studies have been done. And most of these dogs that look like pit bulls have no pit bull in them whatsoever. They just have a certain look. The other thing is that, in truth, there are thousands of dogs that are doing amazing work, oftentimes for U.S. veterans, that happen to look like pit bulls. And dogs you'd see on the street and say, that's a pit bull. They're incredible dogs. They make life possible, the quality of life possible for all these veterans. And Delta Airlines is taking that away. So I love the fact that emus are not allowed on planes, that they have a no-fly list. I don't mind the fact, because it seems in the best interest of animals, that any flight over 8 hours or any animal that's very young cannot be considered a service animal, or if the flight's too long, we don't care if it's a service animal, that's just too long of a flight. I get that, but I certainly don't understand. I'm surprised that it really has not, to my knowledge, been challenged in the court system, because if it were, Delta Airlines would lose. Coming up next, the conversation about what one independent school district in Texas is doing, and I think I'd like to see replicated elsewhere. We're going to hear about it, and that is dogs that are sniffer dogs that can find firearms in schools. Is that a good idea? We'll find out next.
Not a vet, but he does smell like a dog. You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Lieutenant John Jewellett is on the phone, not because I'm in trouble. In fact, the lieutenant is with the Independent School District in Texas. In Ferris. And I want to talk to you, Lieutenant Julin, not about me or the fact that I may or may not be in trouble, but it's about what you do and about the dogs that you do it with. So tell me what you do and tell me about the two dogs you have.
Well, like you said, I'm a lieutenant for a police department here in Texas, and we have our own police department within our school district. So we strictly handle all five campuses throughout our school districts. We answer any kind of criminal calls that may come out for that particular campus or anything that happens on our school district properties. But to our dogs, I have one narcotic dog and two and a weapons detection dog, which they come to work with me every day, and we'll go out and we'll search the building for narcotics, or we'll search the building for weapons, just to ensure a safe environment for our kids here at our school district.
So first off, it's kind of scary that such dogs are even necessary for this work in our schools, but I guess that's kind of the reality of today. These dogs are from the Animal Farm Foundation, and you would look at these dogs and say, these dogs are pit bulls. In fact, of course, they're only mixed breed dogs, like all dogs, or nearly all dogs, that we call pit bulls. Why did you choose those types of dogs in the first place?
Well, just the story behind Animal Farm Foundation, you know, their mission is to secure equal treatment and opportunity for pit bull dogs. And I've known several people with pit bull dogs, and, you know, they're just every normal, everyday dogs, just like everybody else's. And so with these dogs being rescue dogs coming from shelters, I think that it gives them a second chance at life, and it gives them a second chance to prove their capabilities, that they're just as good as any other dog out on the streets. My narcotics dog, Storm, she actually came from the Dallas SPCA, where she was one day away from being euthanized.
Wow.
So we went up and tested her, and she showed the drive and the focus to be able to do narcotic detection work, and so we brought her back, and she's been phenomenal ever since.
Are these dogs good at their job, or as good as any other dog?
We do train with Belgian Malinois. We do train with German Shepherds that are imported from overseas that people pay $20,000 for.
Mm-hmm.
And these dogs are just as good, or I would say some of them are probably even better than imported dogs.
Well, I'd say you're biased, but that's okay. But they but they clearly, you know, a dog is a dog, and they clearly can do this job, and you're not alone. I mean, it's not the majority of dogs that are pit bull type dogs that do this work, but they're all over the country, and they clearly, absolutely can do this work. And that's the thing. I mean, we have a shortage of these types of dogs in America. Why aren't we using more of what we have?
And, you know, I think that's what Animal Farm is trying to put out. You know, they have their donation program where the company Sector Canine, who trains the dogs for Animal Farm Foundation, they're located here in Texas as well. You know, they get these dogs from all over the country. They come to Sector Canine here in Texas. They get trained up. And, you know, we try to push it out to people all across the nation that, hey, these dogs are fully trained. They're just as good as any other dog. We're rescuing them. We're giving them a second chance at life. And it's free to your agency. It's free to your police department. And I think it's becoming more and more, I guess you would say, popular within the law enforcement community now. I know to date, Animal Farm Foundation has put out like 46 of these pit bulls across the nation. Even up in New York, Canine Kai, she's one of the best narcotic dogs probably in the nation right now, and she's straight from Animal Farm Foundation.
Have your dogs spotted anything that I wouldn't want them to spot in a school, but nevertheless glad they did?
Well, matter of fact, yesterday, my narcotics dog, we ran her at our junior high school, and she found about 3 ounces of marijuana in a backpack.
Well, I'd argue not the worst thing, the way the country is going as far as marijuana goes, but
right,
it's something you don't want our school kids to have. And have they found anything worse than that?
No, that's about it. I think our dogs are a great deterrent for our students. They know that these dogs are being ran at any point in time, at any given day. And so whether it be the narcotics dog or the weapons dog, they know that those dogs are on campus every single day and that they can be deployed at any minute. So, like I said, I think it is a big deterrence for our kids to, hey, we're not going to do that stuff at school.
Well, you know what? In all the jobs in America, I can't think of too many more important than keeping our school children safe. So first of all, thank you for that. But also, please convey my thanks to your two partners with four legs as well. Thank you very much, Lieutenant.
Awesome. Thank you.
Next, your telephone calls, 866-554-PETS. Toll free, 866-554-7387.
Welcome back to the only radio show that carries a little plastic bag so it can pick up after itself. Here's Steve Dale.
To New York State of Mind, it's Frank. You're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. What's up?
Well, we have a little problem. We adopted a little dog about 4 years ago, and she's very friendly, and she loves people. And she rolls over and she runs. She's just an adorable little girl. When she sees other dogs, she thinks she's a 150-pound pit bull. She's tough. When she goes to the groomer, she's fine.
Yeah.
When she's leaving the groomer, she goes nuts.
Watch out.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know, but it most likely is fear. You know, the best offense is a the best defense is a strong offense. That's right. So, and that's essentially what your dog is doing. Your dog has learned, as a lot of smaller dogs do, you know, they're intimidated about something. Listen, if you walk down the street and how tall are you, Frank?
6 feet.
6 feet. So if every person you saw was 18 feet tall, you might be intimidated a bit too. And that's all that's going on with our smaller dogs often, not always, is that they learn that when they go and act themselves intimidating, then the offender will back off. Well, the offender might not even be an offender. The dog might not even care about your dog, but your dog wants to know that. Then that dog backs off and it works. So if it works once, your dog's going to do it even more the second time and even more maybe the third time. So what we can do is use distraction. Give your dog something else to focus on, something else to do, and also at the same time, create a positive association with other dogs. So when you're walking down the street, now leaving a groomer is a tougher place because that's also a small enclosed place, I presume. And that makes it even more challenging. So I wouldn't start there. I would start actually in the home. Have your dog, teach your dog to pay attention to you when you say, watch me, look at me, whatever you want to say, hold a treat by your side, low to the dog. And when you say this, give your dog that treat. Then lift your arm closer and closer to your face so the dog is actually watching you when you say, watch me. And then give the dog a treat. Once your dog has it down indoors without any distraction, and that could take a matter of hours, but do it repeatedly for several days to make sure your dog has it. Then take it outside. And when another dog is down the block and your dog is unconcerned because that other dog is so far away, that's when you begin doing it. And you do it again and again and again. And over time, you do it more often when the other dog is closer. So your dog will actually learn that when your dog sees another dog, two things happen. One is I get a treat. And the other thing is I'm trained to look up at you. And if they're looking up at you and they're chomping down on a treat, they're not barking, presumably. And also over time, what you're doing in theory is you're teaching your dog to have a positive association about other dogs. Now, your dog may never be excited about seeing these other dogs on the street, but at least your dog will be neutral, at best, about seeing these other dogs. Does my explanation make sense?
Yes, it sounds good. It sounds plausible. You know, but she even chases squirrels. Like when we let it loose in the yard and she sees a squirrel or a bird, she goes after them. She thinks she's a hunting dog.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, you know, it's a moving object. If your dog, what breed did you say your dog is specifically?
A Shih Tzu.
Okay. So Shih Tzus they're not terriers, but, you know, so if you were to say I have a terrier, I would say that's what your dog was bred to do. But all dogs are still dogs, and a moving object is still a moving object, and it's fun to chase. And they're somewhat hardwired to do it as well, being the fact that they are dogs. So that's absolutely normal behavior. If you don't like that behavior, don't leave your dog in a yard without having a leash on the dog.
Well, you know, if she would, and she even chased another dog, a small dog her size, like a Chihuahua type dog, and she cornered the dog, and then when the dog was cornered, the dog started to growl back, and then she stopped, and they were like face to face, and then I stepped in and I picked her up and defused the situation. I don't know that if she wants to play, you know, with them, but like I said, if we're in the car and she sees a dog across the street, just could be 200 feet away, she just goes wild, you know.
So in sure. So in the car, what you can do is stuff low-fat peanut butter, low-fat cream cheese without salt when it goes with the peanut butter and without xylitol, an artificial sweetener. Any dog treats that you know your dog likes, but something that really will keep your dog occupied. Stuff inside a sterilized bone or any of the toys, and there are a myriad of toys out there, including most famously Kong toys, but there are many out there that you can do this with. If your dog is chewing on something and busy working on something, your dog's not going to be barking. So I will get personal. Are you married there, Frank?
Yeah. Am I married?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you're in the midst of doing a crossword puzzle. Is it as likely that you're going to have an argument with your wife about what she's cooking for dinner if you're very busy doing something else? So if your dog is very busy doing something else, I don't even know that I needed that analogy, but if your dog is doing something else, if your dog is doing something, your dog isn't doing what you don't want your dog to do. So if your dog is busy on the seat of the car going, trying to get that treat from the toy, then your dog is not looking out the window barking at other dogs if the treat is good enough.
Well, she sits on the console in the truck, you know, and she's like a scanner. and she knows that when she goes in the truck, because we take her with us all the time.
Yeah, good.
And she jumps up in between the seats, and it's like a game with her. And she scans, and you could see her just looking left to right. Like,
well,
her main ambition is to focus on other dogs.
So if you don't mind the behavior, you could let her have her main ambition. It's self-reinforcing for the dog. If you do mind the behavior, my advice should solve the problem. So, you know, what is a problem to one person isn't necessarily a problem to someone else. So it depends if it bothers you or not. As far as the walking down the street part, let us know if that helps or not. Feel free to call back anytime, Frank.
Great. Thank you so much for your help. And I'm going to try it. You know, even though she scans, we're going to try to de-scan her.
Okay. Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
You can email me, steve@petworldradio.net, or you can call 866-554-PETS. But some people say, you know, I don't want to call. I want to email. And we do choose an email every week. The email this week will be next. The temperatures are dropping. The snow is falling. The streets and sidewalks are ice-packed. And your dog is giving you that look. You know that look. He wants to go outside. He wants a walk. He wants you to get up off that cozy couch, bundle up, and venture out into the cold with him. What's a dog owner to do? A dog owner like you hops off that cozy couch, bundles up, and takes your dog outside with joy. Why? Because you love your dog. And you use Safe Step SurePaws Ice Melter, designated a safer choice by the US EPA. Safe Step SurePaws quickly melts ice around your home and is less likely to harm your pet's paws or your vegetation. And because it uses magnesium chloride, it's better at melting ice and safer for your family and your pets. Used correctly, you'll need significantly less Safe Step SurePaws than rock salt to achieve the same results. So it's more cost-effective too. Melt the ice around your home safely this winter. Find Safe Step SurePaws online at safestepmelters.com or at a retailer near you.
Catago for Cats presents a quick joke from a cat.
Why did the cat run from the tree? Because he was afraid of the bark. Now I'll tell it so dogs can understand. Why did the cat run?
Cats are fast. That's why they need Catago. Flea and tick control made just for them. Killing fleas within 6 hours. Some other products kill fleas within 12.
I'm not saying dogs are slow, but Yes, I am.
Catago. Made for a cat, fast like a cat. Now from your veterinarian and at PetSmart.
It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry. A new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
Aw, are you thirsty?
If you're a cat owner, you should know subtle behavioral changes can sometimes be early signs of illness.
Wow, you really need a brushing.
Signs like increased thirst or decreased grooming can be easy to miss. That's why every cat should receive a wellness exam twice a year to help prevent health problems before they become serious. A message from the American Veterinary Medical Association and your local veterinarians.
The only radio show for the whole family that often advises using toys with feathers.
I miss my little kitty cat.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
If you've never been, you might think, well, New York City, really? A city that large? A city where it is that congested? But if I'm thinking about one of the dog-friendliest cities in America and the city with likely the most dogs per capita, I'm thinking New York City. And in fact, author Ken Foster has written about it with a photographer who's done amazing work. I mean, these photographs are incredible. And he also tells stories about these individual people and their dogs. It's a great book. It's called The City of Dogs. We talk with Ken Foster next week and also Dr. Liz Bales about not necessarily what to feed our cats, but how to feed our cats. She believes, and I agree, we're feeding them all wrong.
The Pet Health Minute, brought to you by the maker of NexGard, Afoxolaner.
Cold weather may stop ticks, but don't count on them stopping for long, and we should not stop giving our dogs their monthly protection. It only takes a day or so of warm weather to get the ticks moving again, according to Dr. Thomas Mather of the Tick Encounter Resource Center.
A lot of people like to stop for some reason. If you don't see a tick for a few days or a week, they think tick season is over. I watched the Super Bowl. It was 2 degrees in Minnesota. We got a tick the next day from somebody. They had it on their butt cheek, they said, and it had to be cold in Minnesota. So where did that tick come from? So they're out there.
Well, that got a little personal. But now you know the ticks are out there. But that doesn't mean your dog has to be their next meal. Speak with your veterinarian about an appropriate tick control product for your dog. That's today's Pet Health Minute.
Protect your dog with the vet's number one choice, NexGard, Afoxolaner. Reported side effects include vomiting, itching, diarrhea, lethargy, and lack of appetite. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures. See your veterinarian, visit NexGardForDogs.com, or call 888-637-4251 for full prescribing information.
Three simple words.
You've got mail.
Woohoo!
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.
Dear Steve, my son in Montana tells me a problem with his kitty. He adopted the cat from the Humane Society when she was 6 weeks old. She's now about 5 months old and sucks on her own nipples at night. I'm not sure why this kitten does this. Our veterinarian doesn't know either. Is there a cure for this quirk? Well, it occurs occasionally when kittens are weaned too early or too abruptly. So that's a possibility. And cats sometimes then, as they grow older, do these ritualistic types of things. It's like Linus. It's that time of year, right, where we're thinking about Peanuts and Snoopy and the Holiday Gang and the Holiday Special, and you see Linus walking around with his little blanket. This is sort of the kitten's version of that. What you can try to do is to distract the kitten with, say, an interactive cat toy, a fishing pole-type toy with feathers or fabric. So as the cat goes to do this, or even better, sometimes kittens or cats are predictable. You know that around 10 o'clock at night this is going to happen. So instead, this is even better. Take that cat toy at that time before the behavior starts, because you may not be able to interrupt the behavior, but you might be able to. So the other thing to do, if it's not so predictable or you're busy doing other things and can't do that, then as soon as the behavior starts, get in there and use an interactive toy and try to dissuade the cat from doing that simply by having the cat chase the toy. If the cat's chasing the toy, there's no way the cat could also be sucking on her own nipples. The reason why we don't want to see this is too much of the sucking behavior could cause skin irritation or even potentially an infection. And it's not an appropriate behavior we want to see. If it's happening at night when the family is sleeping, do not get up and give attention to the cat because she may also be seeking just that. That's a possibility. If the kitten does not grow out of the behavior, which is also a possibility, see your veterinarian to ensure there are no medical issues. There's nothing else going on. But apparently you've done that already, which is a very good thing. So hopefully this advice will help. Email your questions to Steve at petworldradio.net. I've been talking about preventive care on the radio and on television and in print for a very long time and for a very good reason. I'm talking about having your pet see a veterinarian, even if it seems on the surface they're fine. But are they really? It turns out there's a study that's been done to indicate that preventive care might actually save your pet's life. We will talk to a veterinarian about that next.
We're always standing by to take your call at 866-554-PETS or email steve at petworldradio.net.
Officially sanctioned by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
This is Vets on Pets.
That's where Steve talks to the vets about your pets.
Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit.
Dr. Graham Bilbrook is with IDEX, the diagnostic laboratory, and is behind some new research that's available that was done with IDEX and the American Animal Hospital Association. Dr. Bilbrook, tell me about this data, which makes me very excited in some ways, very sad in other ways, because maybe people will now pay attention, though, that going to the veterinarian more frequently is a good thing.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thanks for the opportunity. It's always great to talk about a subject that I'm passionate about, which is preventive care. And you said it yourself. We know that taking our dogs and cats to the veterinarian for a physical examination every year, every 6 months, ideally, is a good thing to do. We know we're going to find problems. But in addition to all those good things the veterinarian's doing in terms of a clinical examination, a physical examination, talking to you about the history, many veterinarians will do a heartworm test. That's great. But in addition to that, many veterinarians will offer some other blood tests, so things like a complete blood count and a chemistry profile. And these are all, intuitively, they're a good thing to do. But you've asked exactly the right question. Am I investing good time and money by getting these extra blood tests done? Are they going to help my beloved pet get a better quality of life and hopefully a longer life as well? So we wanted to do a study that would answer that very question. And I don't know how much detail you would like. I could talk for hours on the subject, but we've got some pretty compelling new data that shows that by taking a dog or a cat of any age to the yearly examination to the veterinarian and getting some blood tests done, we'll find extra information that's going to help your veterinarian change how they care for your dog or cat.
Well, and that extra information, all right, we're talking about blood tests. We could talk about SDMA, which is a test to diagnose kidney disease earlier. It's just one example. And by doing so, you can, for that dog or very frequently older cat, just change their quality of life. And with cats especially, the client who lives with that cat every single day might not have noticed sort of subtle changes that have occurred with that cat, but the cat's definitely not feeling well. Well, now the veterinarian can do something about it.
You're absolutely right, Steve. I know from my own family, both furry and otherwise, I know that I sometimes miss changes because I see them every day. These slow, subtle changes are easy to miss. But by going to the veterinarian and getting these panel of tests done, we can pick up these changes. And oftentimes, it's a relatively simple next step that can change how this animal is going to respond in the months and years to come. It's all about finding a problem early instead of having to fix a problem when it's become a very much larger issue for that dog or cat.
And that absolutely can make a difference, not only for the quality of life, but the outcome, I suspect, for that animal as well.
That's very much what we believe.
Yeah. So give me one example. You know, as you said, you have hours of data points here. We don't have that much time, but give me one example of some of the data that you've discovered.
Oh, thank you. Well, there's long been studies out there, what I call relatively small studies, that would look at a couple of hundred dogs here and a couple of hundred cats there, and they'd say, well, do we find anything meaningful? Now, those studies, not there's anything wrong with these studies. They come out of Australia, or they come out of Belgium, or they come out of the Netherlands. Those are all well and good. They're relatively small studies, and what we as scientists get excited about is the strength of the data. It's the number of profiles that we're interested in. So we've just wrapped up a study that included 5,000 veterinary practices across North America. So that's about one in 20 to one in 30 of the veterinary practices across North America. We took anonymized practice management records of their health. So we don't know the pets' names. We don't know the individuals involved. These were all anonymized data. And we looked through those results to try and find out, when did the wellness profile illustrate changes that the veterinarian wouldn't have been able to detect by other means? When did those blood profiles provide help to change the direction of that pet's care? So we looked at over 250,000 profiles. We had to use a large computer algorithm to help us with this, but these are dogs and cats from all over North America. And we asked ourselves the question, when does the blood profile, so this is in addition to the usual heartworm, mm-hmm. when does the blood profile that goes on top of that find extra information that's going to change what the veterinarian thinks about the situation? And then adult dogs and cats, 1 in 7, we found interesting new information. In more seniors, it became 1 in 5. But in the geriatrics, it was as many as 2 in 5 of the dogs and cats. Mm. The veterinarian was able to find information that changed the direction. Now, even 1 in 7, even in those adult animals, for the 2-year-olds and the 3-year-olds, 1 in 7, that's, wow, pretty stunning that we're finding all that extra information. Now, for the 6 in 7, there's good news. There's reassurance to be gathered there. But we really are helping dogs and cats.
Next week, it's how we feed our cats that matters and my dramatic reading of A Pet's Night Before Christmas.
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.
Be good to your pets. They'll be good to you. We'll talk to you next time. Yeah.